Hello and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. I'm Janelle Eckerman and today I'll be reading selections from the News Gazette for Wednesday, December 17, 2025. And from the front page today, the first article is Taking Their Shot. The article is written by Bob Asmundson. Full speed ahead for Rolling Heat wheelchair basketball program. We're seeing the light bulbs go off pretty consistently right now. Champaign. Carly Ritz was new to wheelchair basketball in 2024 when she participated in her first game. Her Rolling Heat team was playing at a tournament in Madison, Wisconsin. The ball was tossed in the air for the tip-off, Carly said. We got it. We dribbled down the court and I made my first basket. I was just so excited. Carly, who has played softball and stand-up basketball in the past, had found her sport and long-term goal to someday compete on the U.S. Paralympic team after, of course, playing for the University of Illinois wheelchair team. A 12-year-old sixth grader at Jefferson Middle School, Carly is a star player for the Rolling Heat. The team started in 2022 by Larkin's Place director, Alyssa Anderson, who also serves as team director. From humble beginnings of three players in its first year, the Stevens Family YMCA program has expanded to its current 20, and they're looking for more. And the article is then continued onto page A8. We're all over, Anderson said. We have kids driving in from Peoria, Argenta, Sullivan, Wapella, all within an hour and a half of here. Practices are held on Mondays at the Stevens Family Y. What does Carly remember about her first practice? I was kind of nervous, kind of excited, she said. I wasn't sure if I was going to like it. She did and does. The team just returned from a tournament in the Madison area where it went 2-2. If you go to a game, you will notice Carly for both her skill and on-court personality. I am very aggressive, very talkative, very loud, she said. Her teammates look to Carly for leadership. Ask Carly about her strength as a player, and the answer isn't shooting or passing. The most important qualities of a basketball player are being coachable and being a team player, Carly said. Without your team, you can't play. And if you're not coachable, you're never going to learn anything new. Carly's parents, Stefan and Monica, are all for her time with the Rolling Heat. She has found something she is extremely passionate about, Stefan said. She has put a ton of work into this. This year, Stefan is helping coach the team. Carly's sister, Rosie, 7, is also in the program. Sisters Ella, 8, and Evie, 5, were on the trip to Madison. The Ritz family is sold on the program. I think it's a great opportunity for a lot of these athletes to go out there and get all the good things that sports offers, said Stefan, who is a teacher at Rantoul Township High School. A lot of our athletes don't have a ton of options like this. There is a need for more good, adaptive sports. I think this is a great opportunity for all of them to get the same benefits that any other young athlete can get from playing a sport. The right leader. When Anderson got the go-ahead to start the program, one of the first orders of business was finding a coach. She turned to former UI wheelchair standout Caitlin Eaton, a two-time Paralympian. The Houston native played on the UI wheelchair team from 2012 to 2017. After graduation, she remained in CU and was an assistant on the UI team from 2017 to 2020. She played in Paralympic Games at Tokyo in 2020 and Paris in 2024, winning bronze and silver medals. How did she react when asked to coach the Rolling Heat? Obviously, I was excited, Eaton said. The Champaign-Urbana community has done so much for people with disabilities. The UI has done a lot for people with disabilities. I think all of the athletes that have come through here and played for the UI have known this community needed something like this. The Rolling Heat created an opportunity that doesn't exist in the rest of downstate Illinois. I was excited they were willing to start up a program, Eaton said. They had great backing with the YMCA, so that's awesome. Eaton said she wasn't sure how good of a coach I would be with young kids. It was something new for me, she said. I didn't know really what to do or what to expect. 3 years in, it's going well. It's been fun, Eaton said. I've learned a lot as a coach, and I've learned how to talk to the kids and teach them in the best way I know how. The difference in the team's skill level now compared to the beginning is night and day, she said. I think it's cool. We've seen a lot of growth with the kids, Eaton said. They are starting to understand concepts now. A year ago at the same tournament, one of the players, Carter, froze every time he got the ball. Afterward, Eaton sat in the hallway with him and taught him how to dribble and push at the same time. Now Carter is one of our top scorers, Caitlin said. There are many other stories of players showing improvement. It's one of those things in wheelchair basketball. It is waiting for the light bulb to go off, Eaton said. We're seeing the light bulbs go off pretty consistently right now. They get so excited. The smiles on their face when they win a tough game or when one of their teammates does something incredible is awesome. Winning is fun, but it's not the driving force. At the end of the day, the best part about wheelchair basketball is the community it provides, Eaton said. They get to make friends and be with other kids that have disabilities too. And with this article, there are three photographs, and the first from the front page is captioned, Kanan Schaefer tries to shoot over defender Carly Ritz during practice Monday for the Rolling Heat. The Stevens Family YMCA wheelchair basketball program for children ages 6 to 13 in the gym at the facility in Southwest Champaign. And that photo is courtesy of Robin Schultz from the News Gazette. And the second photo from the front page is captioned, Dexter Campbell smiles after successfully passing to Rowan Smith. And a gallery from Monday's Rolling Heat practice is available at newsgazette.com. And once again, that photo was courtesy of Robin Schultz from the News Gazette. And then third photo from page A8 is captioned, Coach Caitlin Eaton gives instruction during practice for the Rolling Heat, the Stevens Family YMCA's wheelchair basketball program for youths aged 6 to 13. And that photo was also courtesy of Robin Schultz's photos from the News Gazette. And from the front page, the next article is Where to Fill Up for Your Holiday Travels. And it's written by Luke Taylor. Champagne. This should bring some holiday cheer to those travelling this Christmas. Gas prices this December 25 will be at their lowest level on that day since 2020. Gas Buddy analysts expect the national average this Christmas day to be around $2.79 per gallon for regular unleaded, a nice dip from last year's $3. And the article is then continued onto page A10. While 2020 saw very low prices at an average of $2.26 per gallon during the economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, gas costs skyrocketed the following year and resulted in drivers paying $3.26 per gallon on Christmas 2021. Christmas is often when gas prices settle near the lowest levels of the year, and 2025 is no exception, said Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy. Provided there are no surprises, holiday travellers should see pump prices that come in a bit lower than last Christmas. DeHaan recommended that travellers who are crossing state lines check prices in each state and fill up on the cheaper side, since those boundaries mark the highest level of volatility. He said that could save drivers between 20 and 80 cents per gallon. If you're starting from the East Central Illinois region, you might be able to pinch a few more pennies by choosing the right gas station near you. Here are the lowest prices advertised for each county in the area as of Tuesday evening. Champaign County. While Costco and Sam's Club members get special low prices, if you aren't a member, swing by Meijer in Champaign. That's where you can get a gallon for $2.66, just a cent cheaper than at Quick Trip. Douglas County. Your two best options are both in Tuscola. Love's Travel Stop and the Fuel Mart both offer a gallon of regular gas for $2.57. Ford County. Unfortunately, Ford has the highest prices in the region. The best option is Zeal Mart in Sibley, where you can fill up for $2.93 per gallon. Piatt County. Easy choice here. At $2.71, the regular unleaded at Casey's in Cerro Gordo is coming in 13 cents cheaper than the next best option. Vermilion County. If you like paying $2.79 for a gallon of gas, you're in luck. Visit the Casey's in Rossville, Oakwood or Hoopston. The Love's Travel Stop, Pilot, Speedway or Phillips 66 in Oakwood, or the Meyer or Marathon in Danville, all offer that same rate and it's the best in the county. And the last article from the front page is Suey Brothers Barbecue Joint. 9 months in, restaurant still shuttered. Health District has moved to dismiss owner's lawsuit. He has 28 days to reply. And the article is written by Yana Wiesema. Champagne. In late February, a health inspection led to a heated disagreement between the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District and a local restaurant. Nearly a year later, little has changed. Suey Brothers Barbecue Joint, 103 West Kirby Avenue, has been closed since March and is still seeking redress in court, claiming mistreatment by the health district. A status hearing was held Monday for owner Alvin Allison's lawsuit against local health officials. The health district's attorney, Ruth Wyman, said the judge granted Allison 28 days to respond to her client's motion to dismiss and gave the health district 14 days to reply to that response. She added that a hearing on the motion to dismiss is set for February 11. Allison declined to comment. The health district originally ordered Suey Brothers to close in late February, citing a lack of refrigeration due to the restaurant's walk-in cooler not being in operation. And then the article is then continued onto page A10. Allison and co-owner Isis Griffin argued that the order was unfair and that their commercial reach-in refrigerator exceeded the necessary requirements for reducing temperatures. Suey Brothers initially refused to close but eventually shut its doors March 12 after Champaign County Judge Jason Baum granted the health district's request for an injunction. Baum ruled in late April that the injunction to close the restaurant will remain in effect until Allison either comes into compliance with the existing food service plan dated February 2, 2023, or submits an amended plan that is approved by the health district. However, another court case related to Allison's dispute with the health district is still ongoing. Allison initially filed suit against the health district and environmental health director Sarah Michaels on February 28, the day after his business received a red placard and an order to close. He has since amended the complaint and is also suing environmental health specialist Rami Wilson, food program coordinator Penny Murphy, and health district administrator Julie Pride. Per a June 30 filing, Allison seeks damages of over $100,000 as compensation for lost leases, contracts, business income, and future opportunities. Damages for emotional distress and reputational harm, punitive damages for willful and malicious conduct, injunctive relief compelling the health district to comply with existing court orders and permit Suey Brothers Barbecue Joint to reopen under its original plan. Allison, who is representing himself, also seeks reasonable attorney's fees and costs. In the motion to dismiss, Wyman argued that Allison's complaint lacks specific allegations to support his claims. She requested that the courts be dismissed or repleted so that they are more definite and certain. And my apologies for any mispronunciations. And moving on to page A2 in today's reading of the News Gazette, the first article is Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of the Vice President, Jim Rosso. On Wednesdays, we'll introduce the students who make up Year 10 of High School Confidential, powered by Danville Area Community College. Today, BHRA's Lana Benjamin. She was 13 when her grandmother introduced Lana to sewing several quilts, pillowcases and purses later. It's clear Lana is hooked. I love to spend time with my mama, and sewing was one of her favourite things to do, she said. I absolutely love the process of it all. Sitting in front of the sewing machine, cutting the fabric, pinning the cloths together, and especially spending time with my mama. Heavily involved in school, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Student Council, Lana still finds time to carry on Mama's tradition. Sewing and quilting is very time-consuming and takes lots of patience if you want the outcome to look perfect, she said. If you rush the sewing process, you may miss a stitch or mess it up. Headed to Johnson University in Knoxville, Tennessee, to study elementary education and theology, Lana has thrived as BHRA's student reporter. That includes her excellent photography business, Lana Bug Photos. She continues to grow. The school in Bismarck appreciates her work as much as we do. Every Friday when I go into the office, there is always a pile of newspapers with post-it notes and names on top of the people I have included in my report, she said. I have different people save my report for me in the newspaper and give it to me the following day, and it really makes me appreciate everything and everyone around me. She's a big fan of her tiny hometown. Rossville is such a special place to live, with a cozy feeling, she said. I love driving through town in the summer and seeing all the kids run around and ride their bikes together. I have even walked out of my house before, seeing half the kids of Rossville swimming in my pool. And as always, with corrections, the News Gazette strives to present fair and accurate reporting and to correct any errors as promptly as possible. Corrections and clarifications for all sections run on this page. To report an error, please call 217-351-5252, then press 6 to reach the newsroom. And in area history on this day, in 1925, the fur coat thief is still operating. Last night he entered the University of Illinois Women's Club, 1201 West Oregon Street, Urbana, and stole valuable coats belonging to four occupants. The thief is believed to be the same person who stole three fur coats and one cloth coat with a squirrel collar from the Chi Amiga House, 1006 South 6th Street, Champaign, last Saturday night. And in 1975, the Champaign City Council tabled an ordinance that would lower the city's drinking age for beer and wine to 18. The state's drinking age for beer and wine has been 19 since 1973, and the city paused the measure to see if it had standing to lower the age under home rule powers. Urbana passed a similar ordinance in November. And in 2010, on this day, a northwestern Champaign County fire chief is hailing a 6-year-old girl for getting her family safely out of a burning home, Sangamon Valley fire chief Eric Stalter said. Kaylee Rogers woke up about 3:15 a.m. to the sound of a smoke detector on the second floor of her family's home, a close friend, Kelly Goff, said. Kaylee shouted fire when she heard the alarm. Her dad ran upstairs and got everybody out, then ran to a neighbour's house to call 911, she said. And in international history, today's highlight. On December 17, 1903, Wilbur and Orville Wright conducted the first successful manned-powered airplane flights near Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, using their experimental craft, the Wright Flyer. And on this date in 1777, France becomes one of the first nations to officially recognize the independence of the United States. And in 1933, the Chicago Bears defeated the New York Giants 23-21 in the first NFL championship game. And from page A4 in Nation and World News, the first article is Law generates $1.5 billion to save public transit from fiscal calamity. It's written by John O'Connor. Springfield. Illinois's public transit system's got a $1.5 billion annual infusion on Friday as Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a law overhauling Chicago's web of buses and trains, sparing it from devastating service cuts and pledging upgraded performance and accountability. Dozens of government, labor, and transit leaders congregated for the ceremony at Chicago's century-old Union Station. Legendary architect Daniel Burnham's vision for a centralized transportation hub through which 35 million commuters still move annually. The law, which takes effect in June 2026, raises sales taxes in northeastern Illinois, slides into transit coffers a portion of the sales tax on gasoline and interest earnings on the state's road construction fund. The revenue infusion promises to claw the program back from a so-called fiscal cliff, caused largely by a drop-off in funding from federal pandemic relief programs that has threatened metropolitan commuter lines outside of Chicago as well. Our state is tough and resilient and forward-looking, far from heading toward the abyss as some predicted. We are on the verge of delivering a world-class transportation network, Pritzker, a Democrat, said. This new law not only averts the cliff but preserves affordability and makes transit safer and more reliable. The law, which was known as SB 2111, creates the Northern Illinois Transit Authority as administrator of the region's transit programs, with responsibility for ensuring funding and comprehensive planning, while the Chicago Transit Authority, Metro Commuter Rail, and Pace Suburban Bus System focus on performance and reliability. It promises safety improvements for a system often marred by crime and which received a particular black mark, not to mention ire from President Donald Trump, after a man on the downtown L train allegedly doused a 26-year-old woman with gasoline and set her afire in November. Illinois, one of eight states that charge sales tax on gasoline, will generate $860 million in new transit funding by diverting gas sales tax from the Road Construction Fund and $200 million from interest generated by the Road Fund, but that amount is expected to fall as principal is rolled out for road building. Nearly $150 million of that revenue is targeted for parts of the state outside Cook County, home to Chicago and the five counties surrounding it. Another $478 million is expected from a 0.25% increase in the sales tax in Cook and suburban counties. That part particularly riled Republicans who claimed that suburban residents are paying to fix Chicago's problems. State Senate Minority Leader John Curran, a Republican from suburban Downers Grove, said it also freezes out suburban representation on transit decisions. Taxpayers deserve a long-term fiscally conservative plan that includes the reforms needed to ensure a world-class, safe and reliable system, not a Chicago takeover of suburban public transit, Curran said. But advocates contended that the Northern Illinois Transit Authority will have wide representation. The authority will also govern funding allocation based on performance, oversee capital and long-term planning to allow CTA, Metra and PACE to concentrate on operation, provide for a powerful executive director to hold employees accountable and require regular internal as well as periodic external audits. Initiatives to improve safety will include cross-jurisdictional law enforcement cooperation led by the Cook County Sheriff. In 2027, a transit ambassador plan will put unarmed staff on trains to assist riders with safety issues, while law enforcement and social services will develop a long-term strategy for assistance, and there will be a mobile application allowing riders to report problems. By 2030, a single integrated system will collect and process all fares system-wide. And the next article is written by Andrew Dalton and Christopher Webber, and the title is Son Charged with Two Counts of Murder in Killing of His Parents. Los Angeles. Rob Reiner's son, Nick Reiner, was charged Tuesday with two counts of first-degree murder in the killing of his parents, which stunned their communities in Hollywood and Democratic politics, where both were widely beloved. Nick Reiner, 32, is charged with killing the 78-year-old actor and director Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle Singer Reiner, District Attorney Nathan Hochman announced at a news conference with LA Police Chief Jim McDonnell. Their loss is beyond tragic and we will commit ourselves to bringing their murderer to justice, Hochman said. Along with the two counts of first-degree murder, prosecutors added special circumstances of multiple murders and a special allegation that the defendant used a dangerous weapon, a knife. The additions could mean a greater sentence. Hochman said his office has not yet decided whether to seek the death penalty in the case. This case is heartbreaking and deeply personal, not only for the Reiner family and their loved ones, but for our entire city, McDonnell said. We will continue to support the Reiner family and ensure that every step forward is taken with care, dignity, and resolve. The announcement came 2 days after the couple was found dead from apparent stab wounds in their home in the upscale Brentwood neighborhood on the west side of Los Angeles. Nick Reiner did not resist when he was arrested hours later in the Exposition Park area near the University of Southern California, about 14 miles from the crime scene, police said. Reiner had been expected to make an initial court appearance earlier Tuesday, but his attorney, Alan Jackson, said he was not brought from the jail to the courthouse for medical reasons, and the appearance was postponed to Wednesday. Rob Reiner was the Emmy-winning star of the sitcom All in the Family, who went on to direct films including When Harry Met Sally and The Princess Bride. I'll now include the weather report from page A10 and today, 41 degrees. It'll be patchy fog in the morning, partly sunny and the west winds from 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming southeast in the afternoon. And overnight it'll be mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of rain after midnight. Sunrise 7:11 a.m. and sunset 4:30 p.m. And on Thursday, there'll be a high of 51 degrees with a low of 24 degrees. It'll be breezy and not as cool, and there'll be chance of rain near 100%. Overnight it'll be cloudy and brisk, and wind chill values as low as zero. Sunrise 7:11 a.m. and sunset 4:30 p.m. And on Friday, the high will be 31 degrees with a low of 18 degrees. And it'll be partly cloudy, wind chill values as low as zero. And sunrise 7:12 a.m. and sunset 4:31 p.m. And on Saturday, there'll be a high of 49 degrees with a low of 30 degrees. And it'll be partly sunny and not as cool. And overnight it'll be partly cloudy. Sunrise will be at 7:12 a.m. and sunset 4:31 p.m. And on Sunday there'll be a high of 39 degrees with a low of 26 degrees and it'll be partly cloudy. Overnight will be mostly cloudy. Sunrise will be at 7:13 a.m. and sunset at 4:31 p.m. I'll now take a short break and return with part two of today's reading of the News Gazette for Wednesday, December 17, 2025, read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.